Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Blackfort Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. I hope you're doing well, wherever you are listening to the show, and we thank you for joining us once again as we talk about, things of about Indigenous rights and sovereignty and statehood. One of the things that we talked about last week, we did get it a little bit wrong. It wasn't a year to the day, but it was very close to it. But let's listen to Sky News again. They're talking to Malindiri McArthur, who's the Minister for Indigenous Australians, and of course the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians, Jacinta Price.
1 year on from the failed Voice referendum, the Minister for Indigenous Australians has blamed the result on a lack of understanding. But two Indigenous No campaigners have told Sky News they believe the whole process was a waste of time.
When the Indigenous voice was silenced by the Australian people, the Prime Minister promised to chart a new way forward.
This moment of disagreement does not define us, and it will not divide us.
1 year on from the failed referendum, that division hasn't disappeared.
It was a referendum we should never have had. It was a waste of time, it was a waste of money.
People voted no simply because they didn't understand.
Minister for Indigenous Australians Malindiri McArthur argues the lack of bipartisanship was instrumental in its failure.
Hindsight, should it have not gone ahead, or was it worth trying regardless?
I'm incredibly proud that we took a promise that we made to Australians to fruition, and we lost, and we accept that decision.
Two prominent Indigenous No campaigners have told Sky News Labor has no plan B after the voice was voted down.
The Albanese government put all their eggs in one basket. Absolutely nothing has happened to fix Indigenous disadvantage in the last 12 months.
Well, they've buried their heads in the sand. But where are they? Where are they on a way forward?
Well, it's not true. When I took this role on as Minister for Indigenous Australians after my predecessor, Linda Burney, I took on the closing the gap. You know, we know that that's a commitment at state and territory level. It was bipartisan. It is bipartisan. And so we have to continue and we have to do better.
The size of the no vote emboldened the coalition to walk away from constitutional recognition entirely.
Yes, it's interesting, isn't it? Mm. Throughout the referendum, Peter Dutton said he would hold a second referendum. And again, you know, misleading commentary like that really created far more confusion than it needed.
At this stage, look, there's no talk of a second referendum going forward. The approach is to take more practical measures.
Jacinta Price also cautioned future governments against legislating a voice-style body.
I think it would be political suicide to head down that route again.
We lost. That's it. We're moving on.
Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe was a progressive no campaigner. She wants to see a treaty instead.
Treaty is not a dirty word. Treaty does not mean that we're going to take your backyard. We're not going to take anything that you worked hard to have today.
I think it's not that I'm concerned about with treaty. I think it's just a waste of time. It makes no sense to hold a treaty with one's own citizens.
What's your view on where that stands? Should that just remain at the state level, something done there, or in the longer term, should that be something a federal government goes to embark onto?
I think each state and territory jurisdiction should continue on the path that they're going. What we need to do at the federal level is still to bring everyone together.
Minister McArthur's task now to chart that path forward, to close the gap and heal lingering wounds.
I always have hope. Oh, I don't think I'd be here if I didn't.
Trudy McIntosh, Sky News, Canberra.
Well, I think that was very clear there that Lydia Thorpe was also part of that, saying that there's no other plan, but Yidinji has a plan, and Ganyara, we keep moving forward. Ultimately, you're going to build your house, and they're going to have to come to it.
Well, I'm glad they actually talked about Indigenous Australians, because we aren't one, you know. We're not part of their world. If you take notice of the names, McArthur, you know, you look at all the last names. Jacinta Price, you know, Price, Lydia Thorpe. These are all Australian identities that these women are seen through. And they're participating in the life of Australia. And by the way, I just thought I'd remind you, Australia doesn't have a treaty with any of the mobs here. So all those Australians, you know, be it who they are, black, white or brindle, it doesn't matter, those legal identities don't have a deal with our mob, for example. They don't have a deal with any mob. Which is why they go on about this voice and constitutional recognition. But we're building our house pursuant, by the way, pursuant to the sovereignty that they recognise as existing and coexisting alongside theirs. Now, sovereignty is a really strange thing. And people like to think it's the sovereignty of a nation. Well, you actually have your own independent sovereignty that God gave you to be born on this earth, and you can hand some of that sovereignty up to participate in a society. And that's actually a high court case that says that, you know, sovereignty resides in the people and you become part of the state. So they are participating as Australians in a state that doesn't have permission to be here upon our territory.
Yeah, it's really important, and Bumi was... I'm going to bring you in here because now if you go down to the shop or to the airport, let's say, you've got to show an ID. Like, it might be a photo of your passport or whatnot. But this morning you showed us photos of you going down and holding shields with different designs on them. That's the original way that Yidinji mob, the society... used to identify themselves by their tribal markings, their mugra or paint on their body, and the shield designs. And now we're doing that a little bit differently. We're putting them shield designs and other things onto this paper world, and that's the identity that the Yidinji people want to have.
Hey, good morning, and Bumi here. See, like, all the design now that they took away from Yarraba, it belongs to the Yidinji people. Well, as an elder, what Grandad and Fred Mundery done, that's a big thing to me. See, when we... I don't know why people won't come now. We opened it up. Sovereignty. The old people wasn't sovereignty. Not where or why there was, you know? And when you live that life, you know what Gunjan and Murmu and Urim is all about, and there's four of us here, and I growl them most of the time and sometimes and whatever, but that's how it goes. See, these fellows now, they won't come to sovereignty. Sovereignty is power. We're not criminals. They haven't treated us like that, but we broke out of that now, and we've been on this radio for about 4 or 5 years now, or 10 years, or whatever. It's a thing that, oh, Charlie, it's power. You know, you got power. See, we need you a lot out there now, all you have original people, to come to sovereignty, you know? We see the silver dollar too much of it. And now we can fight for this and fight for that, but you won't put your foot or your track with me now. You know, like Dummery put the track on the rock. I mean, jolly, Dad and them, they never got on stage. They had to do the dance, you know, and keep them still away. And I make that Gunjan, I make it home with Dad, and I went down to Adelaide, and man, I cried to see the, when I look back at my life, you know. It's a... I don't want to say any more, but yeah, you know.
But the markings on the shields, yeah, the swords, the other things that you showed us there, they had a design that if anyone looked at it, they know it's Yidinji. Like the scorpion, Jumbunji on there, all these things. But now we're doing it in a modern way where you can not carry that Australian photo or you can carry a Yidinji one.
See, like this now, when I went to the Adelaide Museum, they wanted to know all the markings on them shields, and their power, you know. They're powerful. I told them a bit. It's just like a car holding Falcon or whatever they call them. But when they look on their shield, they see power. Them fellas who work there, they was going to offer me a job there. And that's a powerful thing that they know when you tell them, you know, about the story. See, Dad never draw a horse or a tree or a boat or that. Even show his power on that shield and on himself too, like, you know, standing up there, you know. That's a powerful thing, that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's some beautiful photos of the family there, and you mentioned Fred Munderby, and we saw some of his shield designs with the freshwater turtle and guyu, some fish on there. And but Yirralum, I think now that is the solid foundation. Like before, that Binal was a shell user for money, for trading. Our Binal now is a central bank digital currency, but it's made based on the law of the Yidinji Nation.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, it's repeated over and over by my fellow ministers, is that it's always been here. That's the whole point. You know, it's the scripture, the letters, the writing, all this existed, as you said before, on the shields. It's here. People are, just because there was an arrival of people from other countries 150, 200 years ago here, they weren't interested in even trying to find out what the story and what the law was. It was just a matter of theft. And it's a chance to straighten that out, you know, settle that past, secure the future, and that's what we've done to enable them to understand it.
Yeah, Ganyara, I might bring you back in there, because I think that obviously Cook was looking for, as we often say here, a physical office to walk into and do business with the Aboriginal people, or the Yidinji Nation in this case. Obviously, the Yidinji office wasn't where it is today. It was everywhere. It was under a tree. The signs were there. He just couldn't read them because he didn't have a translator or an interpreter. And, you know, when we look at the shields, for example, that is a parable. As Jesus spoke in sign language, the same way the Yidinji nations talk in sign language. The mark tells a story and the picture tells a story, and there are teachings behind those things.
Well, if you look at any of the shields, you know, like the pictures that Uncle has here today with him, those pictures there, of those shields are very specific to his family, his lot, his clan, his part of the world, which are different. They're similar but different to the Tableland one, for example, because, you know, we don't have the saltwater issue up there. They got the freshwater issue up there, not the saltwater one. So the shields reflect different laws for different areas, but they're still part of the greater nation. Now, his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, they were here when the white fellas come. You know, it's not that long ago. Remember, 150 years is not that many generations ago. And I see some of these pictures were dated before the Second World War, just in between the wars. So, you know, that's one generation. There's people still alive from Second World War. So it's a one lifetime. But yeah, it's understanding this. But when Cook come, he was told to come here, and if it was unoccupied with no one, take it up for in the name of the British. But if there was someone there, was to go and do a deal and secure some pieces under a deal with the local mob, which they didn't. He went back and lied. He took this place, or told the king, no one there, it's ours for the taking, which was a lie. He broke his orders, which meant everything based on that after that was wrong. Now, they say Australia was, you know, terra nullius, or these people didn't have enough sense to be able to cast a vote or whatever they may have said as white fellas, yet all the law was written on these shields. And by the way, I must say, with these shields, the neighbouring mob could understand what was on our shields as well. Not just our lot, but the neighbouring lot, you know, so we understood with each other. And, you know, you get the message sticks idea that can go across Australia, and people over the other side can understand what's written on a stick from here. You know, this is very important to understand law. So we had a very intricate law system in place on the continent that was between all the Indigenous nations. Yet a mob of white fellas come in a boat, they could sail around the sea on a boat, yet they couldn't understand that there were people here that could communicate and do business with. It was just straight out thievery. And by the way, that was colonialism. It's probably one of the most dangerous things that they've ever invented, was to go over and steal someone's country for their resources, you know. And look what they've done to the people. They considered Aboriginals were second-rate people, or they weren't even, they were human animals. And I'm using that phrase very specifically because it's being used today by certain groups as human animals. We weren't. We were very educated, very intricate. We weren't like that. So we're offering them the deal now. We're saying, okay, look, what are we going to do with Australia and all its people? They're holding all the goods, you know, the artefacts and the law instruments of the nation down there in the Adelaide Museum, for example. They've had them all around the world. In all the museums, they've got law artefacts from all the colonies and all the colonised countries around the world. You know, you look at the stuff that was coming out of Africa into Belgium, into France, into Spain, all that. It's not only the British that were bad. It's all of that European lot that come out across the world and took everything. So how do we resolve this issue with the Australians being here? Because they are a manifestation of colonialism. We've got to do something about that ourselves. And they can't offer us a treaty. We offer them the treaty. We've got to say, this is the condition that you can be on our country to let the two sovereignties, the ones they talk about, by the way, in the Uluru state, how do we let these coexist now that are side by side, that can live here together peacefully without killing each other, you know, which is what we don't want.
Yeah, it was only 150 years ago or thereabouts, and when you look at places like Bentinck Island in the Gulf of Carpentaria, which is the Australian description, obviously, the 1960s in Western Cape York area, the first Brit Englishman, I think his name was Chapman, was around 1938, 1940, so even then that's not too far away. And in the Central Desert area, the Pintabee were, let's say, discovered, even though they've been living there for thousands of years, in 1980s. So I think, you know, the law is still there. The same way that in the Amazon rainforest, there are tribes there living now who've never been subjected to, let's say, the modern-day world. They have law there. Any even blind Freddy could see that. I think that's very important. The most important thing is that the law never dies, and if you're here today, Kalna, and your father's father is from this place, then it's very much alive.
Well, let me ask you this. He mentioned that he was offered, he might have been, you know, saying, oh, do you want to come and work for us at the Adelaide Museum? Now, why would they ask Uncle to come down and want to interpret what's on that shield? This is why we've got to do it in English, so that the average everyday Australian or the rest of the world can understand what's on that shield. You know, how would we deal with doing a transaction with the Ainu people, for example, out of Japan? We can't understand their language. We can't understand their law the way it's written, just like they can't understand these shields that Uncle went and had to have a look at. And look, they're from his direct relations. You know, this is direct family lineage on these shields. So they have to ask someone, what's written on there? What are these laws that are on here? What's this all about? You know, when you look at the Yidinji shield with the little black triangles, you know, what does that actually mean? Because every single part of these shields, all their artifacts, everything had a specific meaning to the Yidinji mob and all the neighbouring mobs around us. So that's saying to Uncle, hey, but you come and interpret this shield for us, you know, and we'll put it into English now.
Well, we had a talk this morning, Colin, about what you want to happen with those things. Do you want them to stay in Adelaide, or what would you want to happen now with those artefacts, those things that are your property and your family's property?
Well, the family property, I want to bring it home, you know. Yeah. See, they belong to me. They're my granddad things, you know. You know, like, well, four of us here, we'll work for our thing. We ask our brother and sister if we can use a boat or a car. So that's what I told them in a good way. So I thanked them for what they done. But they should say, well, Uncle, thank you. You can take it back now, you know. And that's what I want that agreement to come from them now, you know. Like, I really want it back, you know. See, I can't go to Adelaide every time I save my little pension up in aeroplane, come back. That's all right. I mean, you like the aeroplane. But going down there to see it and don't bring it, it's a hurting thing. You know, most of my time, they want to know. Is there, I feel like sleeping outside that place, you know? Because it's there. My things are there. Yeah, so. See, like, when I went to Mareeba for that court there, and we took Maddie up there, and we went to pay for a form to send them to Canberra or at one of them big places to come back. And then we thought, we're Maddie going to go, you know, like, get locked up, because he was a sovereignty police with me and I'm in charge of them. And so it came, there was a gapway to put my hand up, and the barrister said, put your hand in. But before that, the police that they were talking to, they were winking an eye at me as if to say, leave it, you know, but I understand about these signs, you know. And they said there were no sovereignty before, but I never take my hat off for them. I stood my ground because I know what it means, like sovereignty, you know, because I know I've been in it, you know, with Dad and Mum, you know, the brothers and sisters we had. And so Maddie got off, you know. So we're not jumping around town Merry Christmas and all that. That's power that he didn't use sovereignty got, you know. You will speak nothing else but he dingy. You know, that's, we do our dance and that. To sky to say anything like that from a big team, from a court, that's a good thing, you know. That's how we want to tell all our lot. You know, Jabbagai, Cook Allenji, all these tribes around the place, Hap Joichanway and, you know, Hiraman tribe and Rand Cairnsway and what's the one in council?
Juru.
Birragarra.
Birragarra, Juru.
Juru, all them lot. And, you know, we learn to stand up now that you got power from your old people, you know. We can't go back into the life, but we can tell the story, but we're going to move forward now and tell them, you know. Enough is enough, and we, you know how you run, and we know how you go on, and you'll be voting for another fellow next to another fellow voting, but we don't do that.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidinji Broadcast Service and our friends at Bumabit Promedia 98.7 FM. If you're listening inside of Australia, it's possibly via the National Indigenous Radio Service, who are also taking this show on the road in the skies, and we'll be back after the break.
Chill by the fire with my family, watching the sunset. Can you feel the breeze? No matter where I go, it will always be the place where I belong. This is my home. Oh, sweet Yare. No matter where I go, this is my home. My home. Sweet Yare, it's my home. No matter where I go, sweet Yare, it's my home. As I wake up in the morning watching the sunrise, the beautiful sea right before my eyes. I just wanna let you know, I don't wanna let you go, no, no. Beautiful land and my people, we fly high like an eagle, oh, yeah. And no matter where we go, we will always return home. Now you bomba, yeah. Kari bomba, yeah. Nappy bama bomba. And no matter where, no matter where we go, now you bomba, yeah. Kari bomba, yeah. Nappy bama bomba. Paradise by the coast, we got. Places, but it's nothing like this. Mountain peaks way up in the distance. I could see Guyala soaring in the sky. I know he's my guide when he flies so high. No matter where we go, he will always call us sweet Yare. The place where I belong, this is my home.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Yurulum, we were speaking about the artifacts there with Kulna Bumi there. I'm just wondering now, obviously wanting to bring those home, that's There's stuff in London, there's stuff everywhere of Yidinjis. How, you know, one of those things would be in the form of our own, let's say, a, some sort of museum or living histories place like the one in New York or wherever it is, the one that goes like that, that building, I can't remember, the Guggenheim or whatever it's called. I think having our own version of that or living history museums where people can come to Ghimoy and learn about Cullinan's family and other Yidinji families and other tribal families from this area to really immerse themselves in an experience that would be positive rather than being about theft and stolen property, all that kind of stuff. The good news would be it's returned.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Ghimoy is looked at internationally and known, I suppose, by the Cairns name, but as a tourist destination. And, you know, with that in mind, you know, if you were to come here, for me anyway, it'd be exciting to learn about the world's oldest culture. Here it is. That's what you're coming to see. And we have spread throughout the world so many different artifacts. And as Uncle showed us this morning, photos of his grandfather and all this incredible knowledge that could be shared in a, as you said, in a building set up here specifically for that, it would become a tourist destination. And you know, it is certainly a chance to pass on the message of how to get along together because it was done so well for so long here.
Yeah, and I think one of the most important things too, with all respect to Ngambri, Ngunnawal down in Canberra, is that that's not the centre of the universe for us. The centre of the universe is here. And those things, I know that I think it was Linda Burney or someone else was saying they're announcing a huge Indigenous museum or cultural park down in Canberra so everyone can go down there and have a look. I'm sorry, but that doesn't work for us, does it, Ganyara?
No, well, actually, I'll give you a perfect example of what you're all talking about. Remember this uncle going back last year, we're coming back on that aeroplane. And then we had them two American tourists. Remember them, Pear?
Yeah.
They wanted to see the real deal. They didn't want to go to some BS museum down there in Canberra. They were, well, sitting in front of Uncle here beside me. And who were they talking about? They were talking about, oh, they wanted to get photographed with the offer up here on country. They wanted to go and talk real deal stuff. They actually were coming up to be part of the, to be immersed in the culture, you know, and they're going to go out to the reef and all this stuff. But Uncle was, he was the one that had to explain it to them. Now, this is what we're saying. Don't have it down there in Canberra. Spread them out to each mob. And if Uncle had his artefacts back here, his law artefacts, he could have said, come over here. You could have it at the airport. Have it anywhere. But where Uncle can have this office to put the artefacts up. And that's what the Yidinji government's all about. It's creating the museum to display its law goods, you know, its law items, and explain the full story as these American citizens want to know. They want to know the truth, not what they've been fed.
Yeah, and back in the day, back in the dream time when I was living down there, I'd walk into that big building down there and, of course, I'd see Yidinji artwork on the wall down there but not here. And that's what I'm saying. That's not the collective... That artwork doesn't belong down there. Yeah, fair enough, it was purchased, whatever, but I'm saying the artwork down in Adelaide and the shields and all those things, they belong here, Kamla.
Yeah. Oh, you got me on the spot again. So all them shields there, the Yidinji shield, they need to come back home now. And so the family can look at it, you know. Well, I'm nearly 71 soon and come true. And thank God that to see Dad work, you know. And, but you know, Murumu and Yurlamia, that they can see it too. We see photo. And when I held it, I said, oh, this is home sweet home now. You get that feeling, you know, that they're going to come home. Yeah, and ultimately coming across. But getting back to the police up in Mareeba, they said they never heard about sovereignty, but they're trying to bullshit us, you know. If you come from them thing, you'll know that you'll know. But when you don't, you're going to say, nah, so they'll make you scratch your head and all of that. But we know. We know that we know, you know. That's why we on this radio to all your lot out there in Australia, start standing up.
Yeah, and if you're going to do community service as part of your penalty, they'll send you to a place in Mareeba. And guess what the room's called? It's called the Yidinji Room. And yet they say that they don't know anything about sovereignty. Well, how? How come that room is called the Yidinji Room? You know, anyway, Ganyaru, we know that acknowledgement and recognition is already there. It's gone. It's done. The horse is bolted. And Yidinji's moving forward. We're not waiting for anyone, for any favours.
Well, we were told we're 30 to 40 years ahead of everyone else in this issue, you know. And we are. We're a bit ahead of the rest of the world in this. We understand what the issues are. We understand we've created a problem for Australia. And we're offering, by the way, a remedy for the problem that we've created. We know the problem. We know the remedy for it. How do we get along together? We've got to get along without destroying each other. And yes, you know, as Uncle rightly talks about, these police officers are not allowed to see the other sovereignty. They're just not allowed to. They know there's something there. They all know. The ANU, it took us all down there last year. About this time last year, we all had that workshop there, that forum and gathering. And they said, you're right. ANU know that we're right. The federal government know that we are right. And we know that they know we're right. You know, so let's just cut all the rubbish out in between. Let's just cut the crap out. Let's now, instead of going to the state-based treaty, which we were told in 2017 it was, at the government house here, we were told that they're going to go down the state-based treaty stuff, no matter what. It's just another can-kicking exercise before, it's a delaying tactic, before they get to the federal-level treaty. They say, why are they doing this? They've got to try and condition the poor old Australian who just doesn't understand the issue. They've been lied to. They haven't been told the truth. You've got to condition them now to start to accept that the Aboriginal people are still the original owners of the place.
Yeah, and that issue was sort of skirted around a bit with that Sky News interview we played earlier on the program, when the reporter asked the Minister for Indigenous Australians about whether they're going to do a treaty later on. And then I think that's the difficult part, because they can't offer the treaty. This is the thing. They have to be treaty ready. But in order to do that, they're going to have to mobilise 20 million plus to the Yidinji way in for this part of the world I'm talking about, you know. So I think that's a really important thing. It's very difficult. And as far as the Yidinji Nation is concerned, from the people I speak with, there's a sense of urgency to get this done now. Like, when you cause harm to somebody, you want to say sorry as soon as you can, not leave it go after 10 years, 50 years, 150 years, because that thing becomes poison and toxic and it gets worse and grows further and further and further apart.
Well, what worries me the most now is the current global, the geopolitical world out there internationally. There's conflict, fighting, squabbling and arguing over literally everything these days. You know, it's just insane out there, the way they're carrying on. So do we want that on our country? We look out here, I get up in the morning, I look at the beautiful scenery, the birds, the trees, everything's happy. Come down over the hill, everything looks happy. But what about if you're in the Middle East? What about if you're in Central Europe? What about if you're in actually Western Europe? They're all going down the gurgler. There's all sorts of fights going on around the world in the US. Do we want that here? No way. We don't want that sort of stuff here. We're trying to maintain the peace. So if we can see these problems and we can get around these problems, let's do it our way. You know, this is what I'm saying. You know, Uncle has the law and his family there. You know, we're part of this government thing. The Tableland lot have their law. We're trying to offer the connection to our country. But what about if Australia doesn't want that? You know, oh, no, the collective West doesn't want it. What are we going to do? Oh, we might do a deal with some other group, you know, and what would be the outcome of that? You know, you think of the conflict that could build. Conflict we don't want. But, you know, Australia is really the one now that is being offered the deal. It's the preferred one to do the deal with. And they work with us, as Article 5 says, you know, work together, build it together. UNDRIP is all, you know, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People says it all. We can use it correctly, because most people don't interpret UNDRIP correctly. They think everyone is all inside Australia, for example. We're not. The Uluru Statement of the Heart said coexisting sovereignty, unceded, unextinguished, is still there. So you've got to go back to there. You've got to forego your Australian identity when you go back. Just leave it on the shelf for a while, go back. Go into your nation, rebuild it in its true and correct capacity as citizens of that nation. And when you leave that, and when I say forego it, you might only be for 2 hours. You know, you put the Australian identity down and pick up your tribal identity. Then when you go back to Australia, you put the tribal one down and pick up your Australian identity so you can move backwards and forwards. We're humans, not identities. We're not persons.
Yeah, and people do that every day. If you got an ACT driver's licence and you go to Queensland, you're in a different world with different laws, but you're still an Australian under the umbrella of the whole thing. It works. So it doesn't really... it's not a foreign concept to people that these identities are already existing, right? So you might have been born in Queensland, let's say. You have an ACT driver's licence, but your nationality could be French and Australian if you had a French father and whatever it may be. So people are used to that, the same way that when people tell their story about who their mob are, they can say, oh, my grandmother's side, this side, my grandfather's side, that side, and my mother's side and my father's side. You'll hear that all the time. So that's not foreign. What is fast becoming an emerging thing on this international stage now is the tribal ID and the Indigenous subject. That's the key thing coming now, and everyone's waiting for what's happening. And I'm not making this up, but Yidinji is leading the way because it is one of the first cabs off the rank from an Indigenous specific foundation that's really navigating this new world, let's say, that's ever-changing right now?
Well, according to UNDRIP, we've got every right to produce our own identity as to how that human being, not the person, how the human being is going to be seen through the person in that Indigenous world. How is Uncle going to be seen inside Australia? How is he going to be seen inside our mom? This is what we've got to create. And UNDRIP, by the way, UNDRIP details that. People got to read this document and understand what it says. And to participate in your own nation, you've got to go and create your own identity. Where do you create that? Under legislation or law, by the way. It doesn't have to be written law, because if you look at the UK, they don't have a written constitution. They got a group of acts and legislation that, you know, detail what their world is in the UK. Australia's got a written constitution which outlines the starting point for all the other legislation. But us, we can have it on a shield, we can have it, and an uncle can interpret the shield, or we can have it on paper like what we're doing, you know, so we can understand the starting point. But this is where you create the identity. So to create the identity, we do this properly, you know, and this is what it's all about. But we've got to do this. Because how do you know who's Indigenous and who's not Indigenous? Who are the Indigenous people here on this part of the world? Yidinji. And where are they? How do they identify? Through that identity.
Yeah, and you know, even if they're not from here, whose wing are they under? You know, which elder said, no, you're one of us now, you carry one of our identities?
And that's the important part. Where did that identity get created?
Mm.
Under Uncle's legislation, under his law, under his family law. You see what I'm saying? This is what is so important. We've got to go back and revitalise that, as well as participate in Australia, if you so choose, through the Australian one, through the Australian identity. Now, Australian identities cannot do a treaty with themselves. Let's call Australians Australian identities, so you understand that it's the identities that are doing the deal, not the humans. The humans are only, they become the subject matter for the identity when they pick it up and be seen through it. But if they're not seen through it, it's still sitting there. So the Australians cannot treaty with themselves. They've got to treaty with the other identities.
Yeah, and it's like tribal adoption. Were there adoption papers? Where's the evidence or the proof of the adoption took place? There it is. It's signed on this day. This fellow been adopted this fellow, and now they're carrying that card.
Or, as Uncle says, I paint them black. Would that be true? When they literally say, and I don't mean they don't get out with the paintbrush and black paint, no. When he says they're painted black.
Yeah, with his word.
That's the word, yeah. Well, that's our dad, the Yidinji lot, done if the family from another tribe don't want their children. They'll walk up and say, I'll take him then. Or anybody comes over to Yidinji, dad says, well, come with us then. See? They put their word on them, like, you know. And like now that you're with Uncle, and that's very good, and I got a lot, and that's really lifted me up, and I'm proud of myself, you know, to carry it on, you know. And this help will be from me to say, well, if anybody going to Yirrumbla trying to pull that mountain, then, well, I'll go up there, you know. Just like my son-in-law, Mark, they want to lock him up like Western country. And he said, right, oh, I'll get something. And he's sitting me on the brand, and one day I looked and said, go tell him there too. And they all took off. You know, like, I could have been jailed there when I went for this court. I can't help talking about that. But the power that I've got, you know, to say, hey, leave Bilbo alone, you know. and now he's home now. So I got Yirrkala in hand, going, you know, and Yirrkala that I'm going to stand my ground for them, you know. Whoever comes in here dingy, I haven't got a car to sell or anything like that, but my appearance, you know, with them, protect them, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's a very important thing. And Yirrkala, that's obviously, you know, we've seen that in the office quite often. People moving up here, even from down south, to become a citizen of the Yirrkala Nation, and they meet Uncle. And it just makes a huge relief, because even when I came back to this journey, that was one of the first things I asked with Gunjarabai, and I was there and met Gunjarabai at the Ganyara's house, and I asked a few questions about who would start all this and, you know, what's the foundation, and they told me that story, and it was done by the elders, and you know, and the consultation process. It's a very, very big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, being born here in Gimoy, you know, I grew up with not truly knowing the truth, you know, not really understanding what the truth was of the country I was born on. And it wasn't until I was much older that, you know, this understanding came to me. And like you just said, if you can't be comfortable within yourself unless you know the truth. You don't want to be living a lie. And the only way you can live the truth on our country anyway is to be under the wing of Uncle here, to be under the Yidinji people. And as you said, people coming from down south can actually become Yidinji citizens, and that's pretty special.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things that I really wanted to convey today was this need to not only build the house, but those institutions. We talk about the returning of cultural artifacts and historical documents and tribal designs on shields and things like that, but also I know that Kalna was one of a group of people that went to Germany to pick up the ancestral remains, but those are currently down south somewhere. We really want them back here, and I think having some sort of a place where people can, especially the families first and foremost, can go and look at these things in private, and then have some sort of a copy of those, whether it's a 3D printed copy of the shields or not the original shields, but the copies of those should be in public display for people to come and look and really experience what the Yidinji way was like and is like.
Well, would you release the crown jewels out into the public space? Because that's what these shields are really representative of, the crown jewels of the UK. Would they like their artefacts going back, you know, hundreds of years be released to where every man, woman and child can go and touch it and play with it and handle it and take it and plunder it? Same thing. This is the equivalent value, you know. Diamonds are just rocks out of the world, you know, out of the earth. These trees, you know, these shields are trees out of the earth. Same thing. You know, we have the same value upon the shield as what they do upon their crown jewels, these big shiny rocks. So, you know, Let's be fair with this. Make replicas like they do with the crown jewels and put them on display. And like Uncle's stuff there, make a replica up and put that on display. But the originals must come back to the true people who they belong to. You know, now, a lot of stuff was taken. A lot of stuff was stolen. Just taken from the mob. Okay, give it to us and we'll take it or we'll shoot you otherwise, you know. So this is what always, you know, has happened. And you don't gain anything by theft, you know. The proper way is to hand them back. Put them into secure storage because they do have lore attached to them. And, you know, and then put the replicas up. Let people see that, you know, this is what it was. And you can make a dead ringer copy of it out of new wood. You know, only the Aboriginal people will understand that that's the new one and that's the old one. So, you know, poor average old Aussie, everyday Aussie, he wouldn't have a clue. He's just seen a shield with a few paintings on, a few markings, wouldn't understand a thing. But, yeah, we can do that. And we should be doing that. And as we said earlier, Uncle was so proud to talk to these Americans. When they come on the plane, you know, they were so happy to see him. They weren't interested in seeing pictures about, you know, the Queen or the King of Australia. You know. They weren't interested in that. They were wanting to see the real king, the real deal. And that would have been nice if he could have said to them, come over here now, if you're really that interested, I'll show you an original shield, original law shield. How would that be? You know, they could go back and say, yep, them mob out there are pretty damn good. They like us, you know. We're not hated around the world because we're trying to do the right thing. So that was a really big thing on the plane. You know, when I had to explain that to them, They didn't have a clue. They just did not know. And once you enlighten them on it, they can't unknow it.
Yeah, the value of, like you said, rightfully so, you know, $1 million is just paper, but a shield and all these things, when your family has carved that out and painted them, and you know, it's you can't put a price on that, eh, Conner?
Oh, jolly. Yeah, you couldn't put a price on anything because we had no mill. They had no mill before. Men's shed. The thing that I saw with Grandad, mate, oh, gosh, you wouldn't think that they made it with their own bare hand. See, them museum, they're looking, say, like this. We'll look after them. You don't want it. Then they get the glory, you know. And now they gave it to us, and they'll say that, you know. Well, if they say to me down there, you can get a job here if you want to. We'll give you a job in here, you know. I'm thinking, oh, I've got to give me a job in the house, but to cover up, you know. But that's got to come back home, you know, in Edingi land. Cairns, Atherton, Gordon Vale, that's all Edingi things, you know. And I want them all back.
You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet. We'll be back after the break with some final comments.
Ya yunda yalada, ngayo buri buri gari. You're listening to BBM 98.7 FM with Delene Briscoe.
All right, Kana, I might get you to say some words if people are listening out there, some final things for them to hear about.
Okay. Uncle Bobby, say good morning and have a good day. Pretty hot out there on the road too. I don't work this week. I don't want to work this week. But I got a few other things going on. And yeah, Uncle say Bill and Gunnan, see you some other time, maybe see you next week or whenever we can have a good talk, you know. So things coming good with me. Doing a little bit of reading at home and then trying to put all these words into good, but that's how it goes with me. Have a good day.
Yirrilim.
Just, I suppose, a continuation of the discussion, you know. Seek the truth, you know the truth of the lands that you're living on if you don't already. Seek permission to be there. And if you're coming into our beautiful nation, well, we can even offer you a visa.
Yeah, that's true. We offer them online now, actually. We did one yesterday, and you can just click on a link and apply for a visa and fill it all out. And it just adds more, I guess, to the Indian nation and the government, Ganyara, that we can provide these services. And against all odds, we're here. And we're cruising on the love boat.
Well, I suppose you could call it that. You know, we've got the love of humanity. That's what it is all about. It always has been, by the way. But we're trying to do the right thing by Australia. They can't offer us a treaty. Actually, I think you went and attended some government treaty thing a while ago there, a state-based thing, and they were talking, and they said, they aren't treaties. They actually said they're not treaties. It's just some sort of agreement. So, look, go and seek the truth if you really want the truth. Understand that the treaty has to be done at the federal level, not at the state-based level. It's just a total waste of time, effort and money. Oh, by the way, I think they spent about $450 million on a voice referendum that would have been better into a hospital. Didn't we say that, you know, 18 months ago, we'd have been better putting that into a hospital? Yes, it failed. It would have been better for the Australians. There wouldn't be so much division. And listen to the Edingi way. We've been offering the treaty now for, 7 years, or the roadmap to a treaty. How about we just sit down and talk with those who really matter?
Yes, you're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition. That's it for today. We wanted to say thank you very much for everyone who listens, whether you agree with it or not, that's okay. You know, it's for you to really go through these messages and do your own research, really, as to what you think the truth is. And but anyway, Gaya Barakalanyundu, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are listening to this program. And in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, because he said that he is the way, he is true, and he is life. And on that note, we'll catch you next week. Garu.
Talk about it. Yeah. We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't wanna believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me, just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited disinheritance? Took the privilege, y'all took the wealth. Took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet, nigga. New day seems nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain from my great-grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lockups, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Love, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go. If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter. If only you could see what you're doing to me. Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrificing of a black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right. I will stand for the justice. I'll tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me. Typical complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart. It's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and that walk on by. For the lies that they preach us. The violence. Silent agreements. The pride and deceit. Our willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming. I'm dreaming. The better ways of a better day. And some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years. Nothing. We push above where we are. It ain't hard if we all get the courage to get up and get involved with a little bit of love. Come on. If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter. If only you could see what you're doing to me. Let's talk about it. Family. Look. Black Lives Matter.